Okay, we're go.
Okay, I call to order the Madison Plains Board of Education regular meeting starting at 7 p.m. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Detweiler and I are here. Mr. Mason is absent.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, public communication. We will start with Mr. Gary Hoffman, please.
My name is Mr. Hoffman. I am an ag teacher at high school. I'm here kind of just briefly. I noticed on the agenda, subject 10, supplemental contracts, did not include the extended days for the FFA teachers. And our program runs July 1 through June 30th. And I'm just a little concerned that, I don't know if we were overlooked or what is going on, but with fair coming up, we have a lot of things going on in July. I've got additional home visits to make, so I kind of need to know one way or another what's going to happen. If there's something that's going to happen or if it was an overlook, whatever. So I'm just a little concerned about not being on the supplementals for tonight.
So. That's something we can probably address right after our planned executive session. That's okay.
Yeah.
So, like I said, just one way or another, let me know so I can adjust the schedule.
Hang around.
Mr. Morlock, please.
Ken Morlock, Vice President of the Music Boosters for Madison Plains, 9725 Prince Benjamin Road. Okay, hold on, here we go. I warned you probably a couple months ago about some things that I wanted to cover, some important legislation that's been passed, that might be passed, and something that's going on outside the state that everybody in school districts around the country ought to be worried about. So first, I'm going to go with House Bill 70 out of General Assembly 131. That was the last General Assembly. A couple years ago, it was passed through the House and the Senate real quickly, and I don't know, some of the board members that went to Capitol Conference a few years back might remember the We Are Youngstown wristbands that they had. This was all for that. Basically, what it says is that the Ohio Department of Education can appoint an improvement coordinator. This chief executive officer shall exercise complete control of the district. The CEO may delegate responsibilities to the Board of Education and the superintendent. Not that they have to, but they might do that. The collective bargaining agreement could be impacted. They can take out sections of the agreement just because they can't, which isn't good. Now, in year one, if the district doesn't achieve a grade of C or higher, the appointed CEO may reopen any collective bargaining agreement, and in which case they can change just about anything with not much that the teachers can really do about it, or anybody else. So year two, if they still don't have that, the CEO may suspend or alter any provision of that agreement. Students may be moved to community, STEM, or chartered non-public schools. In year four, a new Board of Education would be selected by the mayor, and that board serves for at least 3 years. So what the CEO is supposed to do is improve the academics of the district, and if they don't do that, then guess what? You guys could all be tossed out, and a whole new people brought in to try to get that to happen. The bill was passed very quickly, originally to improve the Youngstown District, as I mentioned, and no local control, no elected officials, or continually poor performing schools. Kind of remember that a little bit. There's been a large movement by outside influences for charter schools and for-profit schools, and this was like one of those major steps, that legislation that was passed in order to make that happen. Okay, they They still get tax money. They don't have to take any student that comes to their door. So any disabled student or any student that takes additional money, they don't have to take them.
You do.
Okay, so that's that one. Remember that no control, no local control. Coming up, it's on the books now. This is General Assembly 132, House Bill 512, and it was touched on a few meetings ago, and I went to do some digging on that. After I found the 2,000-page bill, I said maybe there's something else I can do to read. But there's a summary here. Essentially, House Bill 512 is going to create a Department of Learning and Achievement to oversee primary, secondary, and post-secondary education. It specifies that the department is administered by the Director of Learning and Achievement, who is appointed by the governor, with the advice and consent of the Senate. So essentially, this has to be approved by the Senate, but that's probably going to be pretty easy with the Senate being, what, 80-85% Republican? Okay. Transfers to the department, this new department, most of the powers and duties of the State Board of Education, Superintendent of Public Instruction, and the Department of Education. It also relieves all power and duties of the Chancellor of Higher Education, Department of Higher Education, and the Governor's Office of Workforce Transformation. Now, a little bit later, it'll say that they may talk to the Department of Education, they may talk to the State Board about some of the things that they want to do, but they don't have to. And that's critical, because more than half of the State Board of Education is elected by people around the state of Ohio. Fraction of them are appointed by the governor, but in this case, he's going to be able to appoint one person, and then they'll appoint two other people for some of the other things that are going on. So it abolishes the Department of Higher Education and the Ohio Board of Regents and eliminates the position of the Chancellor of Higher Education. I'm not exactly sure what that is. I think that's dealing with colleges and what's going to be happening with colleges and how colleges are run. So they're not only stepping on local school districts, but they're now transferring that over to higher education colleges across the state as well. Don't be surprised if they start doing this in other states, or haven't already done this in other states around the country. It retains some of the existing powers and duties of the State Board, Superintendent, and Department of Education, but it transfers the rulemaking authority regarding those powers and duties to this new Department of Learning and Achievement. So whatever they say, they don't have to do. Okay? And that's critical. Okay. There's a whole bunch of other stuff with 512, but I have limited time, so I'm going to pass through all that stuff. Anyway, that's House Bill 512, General Assembly 132. You can go on the Ohio legislative website and look up that and read all the fun details. Also, Senate Bill 241, same General Assembly 132, this is establishing a category of non-public schools called accredited non-public schools for private schools that are accredited by the Independent Schools Association of the Central States. I haven't dug into that. Trust me, I will, to find out what's going on. It requires accredited non-public schools to comply with minimum education standards, adopted by the State School Board of Education, but prohibits the State Board from prescribing additional operating standards from them. Don't forget about 512 that I just talked about. If this other place comes into play, this learning and achievement, you know, it's not even going to matter. It specifically exempts accredited non-public schools from the state minimum high school curriculum and chartering requirements. That kills you, because this is the future of the state, this is the future of the country, and they can say, hey, you don't have to do the minimum if we go ahead and do this, and you're part of this accredited non-public school. Don't be surprised if they're not all for-profit either. Okay. There's more to this bill as well. It's Senate Bill 241 for this General Assembly. I was visiting a buddy of mine in Mississippi. His daughter was graduating from high school. She got accepted to MIT. We were all excited until I was on my way home. We were driving through Kentucky and found out that Jefferson County Public Schools in Kentucky, it's the Louisville School District, has the Kentucky State School Board has shaken up the interim commissioner recommends that they take over that district due to not keeping up with state and national performance averages, discipline issues, and lack of efficiency and effectiveness, bloated and overpaid administration. So now Kentucky is trying to move away from an academic problem with the district to more of, you know, hey, you're not running the school like we think you ought to be running the school. You're paying people too many for these specialized jobs that they might have. So Jefferson County has a new superintendent. He's only been on the job for a little over a year trying to fix some of these problems. The state doesn't care. Wayne Lewis, the guy from the state, was appointed after Stephen Pruitt resigned under pressure only after 2 years. So he had a four-year contract, but he resigned after 2 years, probably because the governor wanted him to do something like this. The Kentucky governor appointed all the state board members by the time Lewis was hired. So every single board member on the Kentucky State Board of Election is appointed by the governor, who brought this guy in to take over to kick him out. So I don't know what, if you can read anything into that. I know I'm talking kind of quick and going through pretty quick, but with my time at the conferences, the national conferences, the regional conferences that I've been to, and the many people, Tim knows how many people I talk to when I go to these things, you see a trend. You know, there was the trend for for-profit schools when they were approaching that everybody already had them, and now we have them. There was a trend for some of these other bills that we're seeing in Ohio now, and there's a trend that I'm seeing already in Kentucky, and it scares me. It makes me really nervous for public education. You know, we've been saying for 5 years, at least, probably longer, that public education is at war. They're under fire. And these are little bitty battles that are finally going to put an end to public education. So I urge you, my board, to write your senators and congressmen on the state level and on the national level to say, hey, I think this really sucks. This isn't good. You know, pay attention to some of the legislative updates and actions that Ohio School Board Association is passing out, because they have a lot of people that are looking at a lot of different angles for this stuff. And I urge you, I've urged the boards before, but I seriously urge you, we have to do something. We're just one board, but when you get hundreds of other boards on board with this stuff, action happens. Things happen for the better of public education. You know, I strive to make you aware of some of these things as best I can, and try to help you understand as best I can the urgency that we have for public education. Thank you for your time.
Great. Moving on to board work session. We would like to take this time to thank Mr. Tim Deadweiler for his years of service. It has been a pleasure working with you. Thank you for all you have done for our school district, and we wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Meetings to be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
And we do not have any student recognition, department reports, or board committee reports at this time.
So now I make a motion that we enter into executive session at 7:15 p.m. for the purpose of learning more than the following. Under Ohio Revised Code 121.22, Section 1, the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. Any other categories?
Okay. discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Cover?
Yes.
Mr. Potts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinkus?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Treasurer's report?
Thank you, Ms. Vice President. My treasurer's report, you have the financial items there that I hope you've had a chance to review. The only update I'll add is it is inclusive of the most recent five-year forecast now and the spending plan. We are right on track with what we thought our spending plan would be right now, so our estimates are in line with our actuals. So we're looking in the year right now to the positive of around $400,000 of what our initial estimates were back in the beginning of the year, so back in July. So that's really good. The other thing that you have before you are the transfers. Transfers is something we do at the end of every year, more to clean up than anything, with one exception. And the one exception is the general fund to the HRA transfer. That's really not an exception. We do that every year. However, this will be the last year for that. If you remember, we now take that directly from the general fund so that we don't have to do a transfer, which allows us to better account for those funds. And it also allows us to get credit on the state report card for instructional expenses that weren't being captured before, based on the coding. So the transfer is only through what was done through, I think it's September of 2017. So once we do that for that $60,000 plus that you have before you, we shouldn't have that transfer moving forward from year to year. The other ones are cleanup. They're fund to fund. They're within the same fund. For instance, Mr. Miller would have control over his building funds for elementary and intermediate. If one of them happened to go over and the other one was under, this just smooths those out. So fund to fund, they're small amounts, and it just brings them back to zero for the next year. That way we can better track how those funds are doing. So those are the only transfers that you have. Any questions on the transfers? Okay. The next one is the amended appropriations for 2018. We always do a final amended appropriations at the end of every year to account for any changes that may have occurred throughout the year. Typically, there's small things here and there for budget account change requests. It, again, was a small change from what we had for our last appropriation amendment, which was in December. Appropriations actually decreased. A lot of that was based on the budget balancing plan and things that that we've been doing as a district to reduce costs. General fund went down, the PI fund went down, and then again the HRA fund. We didn't have to budget for the huge transfer. That went down to $60,000 instead of $300,000 because now that's being accounted for in the general fund. So the amended appropriations are there. That should clean us up at the end of the year. So that we can move into the next year. The final thing that you have are the temporary appropriations for FY19. A lot of districts do temporary appropriations at say 35% of full appropriations just to get started for the next year. We have our budget planned in such a way that we're able to develop the budget and essentially have a final budget ready to go July 1. The budget that you have, the appropriations that you have, include all the conversations with the superintendent and the department heads and the building principals, and also includes the board's budget reduction plan and also aligns with the board's approved five-year forecast that was approved in May. So it's ready to go to be a final appropriations, but we approve it as a temporary because we're waiting on some other things like our grant funding, our allocations to come in. So once we get our grant funds, which are our federal funds, once we know those allocations, we add those to the final appropriations and approve them no later than October. So you'll see those presented for you for final approval, and they should look very similar with the exception of the grants, probably in the September meeting.
And to be fair, another piece to that is the transition from myself to the new superintendent. He'll have the opportunity to look at that budget. Right. If
before the finals are completed to see if he wants to shift resources anywhere.
So. Right. The transition has held us up, not held us up, but complicated things a little bit. Finance committees and this is the new superintendent, and so this will allow the finance committee to review the final appropriations before their final and make that recommendation to the board. It will allow the superintendent, the new superintendent, to have input before those final appropriations are made. But the only thing I wanted to assure you is that what is being presented is inclusive of already board approved actions, which would be the 5-year forecast and the budget balancing plan. So we're ready to go and make any changes that do need to be made. But this way we get a good start on the year. So that's the final appropriations. The only other thing I did receive our certification from the Board of Elections, certifying our results. So it is absolutely official now, which is a great thing. We're getting phone calls, you know, from different community members and people asking questions about the income tax, which is good. I've been answering a lot of questions and then also directing them to our website or the Ohio Department of Taxation's website. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing to kind of close the book on. I really do appreciate what the community did for the district with passing the income tax. It definitely does open up some opportunities for our students in the district. So.
Are your financial statements on a consent or no?
Yes, they're a part of the consent.
Item 5.
The what?
Item 5.
Yeah, item 2, 3, and 4 were just presentation. And then.
Oh, there you go. Sorry.
5 through 9.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approved financial items H6 through H9.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Pooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Moving on to the Superintendent's report, please.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. My first item is the sewage plant update. The application with the EPA has been filed by the Guardian Associates out of Washington Courthouse. The person that is going to review that will do that on Monday the 18th. I was told the turnaround time will be fairly quick as long as the application is in order and is approved. That still gives us our window, which we recall we have 4 weeks, 2 weeks to get the items ordered and in hand, 2 weeks to install. So basically 4 weeks is what we're looking at. Brian has everything lined up. We're gonna do some of the work ourselves as far as the electric trenching and putting those lines in. We will be ready to do that as well. The goal is month of July, we are done with the sewage plant and it meets all our EPA requirements. So that's good news. Again, the only thing holding us up now is the EPA's approval of the application and issuance of a permit. That's the big thing. Transportation update. It was actually kind of fun. The joy of inspecting our buses as the bus drivers turn them in. They're required to do a thorough deep clean of those buses. Got to meet with most of them as they left for the summer. It was just a nice way to say thank you. I had not done that before, and they did a very good job. We've issued all the summer trips and made those assignments. Most of you don't realize that we have trips that go out all summer long. Those have to be issued as well. We've done that, taken care of that. State Patrol will be in July, and Phil doesn't anticipate any issues with the buses meeting their inspection requirements. And then the new bus will be here. Wednesday of next week. I signed the paperwork on that today, so we will have our last new bus for this year next week. The security on facility update, Brian has gotten the doors ordered, working with JCAR and what was the other name, Brian? I'm sorry. Okay, so we're using two different vendors for different areas that the board has approved for us to put new doors in. We're looking at July, early August. The pod is the one that's going to be most difficult because those doors have a bigger backlog, but hopefully by the time school starts, that will be done. So that's a good thing. The other piece is you have a handbook change on the valedictorian, salutatorian language. We provided that for you to take a look at, not to vote on tonight. Peruse that between now and the next meeting, see if you have any issues with it. It's just to provide even more clarification so we have even fewer questions in the future. We've made improvements, but we need to keep working on that. I will also point out, I'm not going to have Todd pull it out up, but one of the commitments I made to the Board of Education was to make sure that I continue to try to get my professional license as a superintendent. I did get that last week. I did put that out on our webpage just so folks that have questioned that can see that it is out there for them to take a look at. So again, that's not going to directly benefit you, but I do thank the board for supporting me in getting that license. I appreciate all of your help. So, I will also say that you've seen from the report from Todd tonight and from the state auditors in the past and the accolades they've given, I feel very comfortable leaving that you're in good hands financially. I know Todd is going to do a great job for you. In the last few days, Chad is getting indoctrinated by fire, and that's okay. He has got thick skin, and I think you've made a very good choice. So I wish Chad very well. With that, I am going to say thank you, and that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. We do not have anything in under policy and governance, so we're moving on to business.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items K2 through K4.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, moving on to personnel.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award Sherry Allen a one-year exempt contract as food service coordinator, step one, to be paid in accordance with the board-approved exempt wage and salary schedules beginning with the 2018-2019 school year.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes, I'm going to throw this out for you to have a little more background. We placed Sherry on step one based on her year's experience and what her experience has been in Madison Plains. She reached out to Vicki, let her know that she had some previous management experience. So I've agreed to talk with her about that. You may get an edit to her step. So she might go from step one to step three or four, whatever that experience level supports. So that would be at the next meeting, but I'll make sure that information is provided to Chad so he can make that recommendation if he sees fit. So.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
No.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-1.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve 5 extended days for the food service coordinator. These days will be paid at their daily rate and are needed to complete the work to be done prior to the start of their regular contracts. Extended days must be approved each year.
Second. Discussion?
I do want to add, this is not one of the positions that we originally discussed as far as the budget reduction program. Is independent of that conversation. So just want to make sure the public knew that.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
No.
Motion carries 3-1.
Okay, Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items L4 through L11 with the exception of L11, right?
Yeah, L4 through L13 with the exception of L10.
See, I didn't write it right, yeah. Thank you. That, what he said. Right.
Second. Discussion?
L-10 is being pulled.
That's right.
Should explain that.
That's the supplemental contracts. That was part of the budget reduction program. The board has $28,000 in reductions that they plan to make from all supplementals. These are a portion of the supplementals for next school year. We're going to pull all of them off so the board can have a conversation about all supplementals in conjunction with the new superintendent and Todd. I think we wanted to make the commitment, though, for FFA,
yes,
which is starting their work this summer, that that is not going to be one of those considered to be reduced. So hopefully that answers your question, Harry. Okay.
And we'll be adding a 13, a 9-13.
14. 14. 14. 14.
I can't. I wrote down.
Yeah,
it's
okay. Roll call,
please. Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award Nathan Warner a 1-year contract, a 6th grade math, social studies, step 6, BA degree to be paid in accordance with the board approved exempt wage and salary schedules beginning with the 2018-2019 school year.
Second. Discussion.
What was the step?
6. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
No.
Motion carries 3-1.
Madam President, if I could, before we move away from my section, I've had a request from our athletic director talking about new football uniforms, and I'd like for him to come up and speak on the cycle and that type of thing so you have a better understanding. With our recent reductions in pay to participate, I think it's difficult for him to speak to it.
Yeah, I guess. Really quick, Tim asked me to speak to you guys this evening. It is year 5 now of our football uniforms. Our uniforms are all, every sport, on a 4-year cycle. So it is time to purchase new uniforms. I budgeted that in next year's athletic budget. I'm not asking for any funds from you guys or anyone else, but I do understand Mr. Dutler's point on the fact that with pay to participate and other things, people might think, why are we spending money outside of that? Obviously, as you guys all know, pay to participate goes to the general fund. I'm not asking, you know, for general fund to pay for this or any uniform that we have in the athletic department. So that's the one thing. Why we need to do it tonight is we have to put that order in ASAP to have them, obviously, by August 15th, get ready for football season. So
what do you anticipate the cost to be?
$14,027. So
that's 9 through 12?
That's 9 through 12. Yeah, that's 50 set of home tops and bottoms and 50 set away tops.
And so did those old uniforms go to the junior high?
No. If you look at it, we have good. Mr. Hansen bought new uniforms for the junior high 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. So that's on different schedule.
They're well taken care of. Yeah. But, I mean, you're obviously, the goal would be if any of the old players would like to have them or something like that. But they're very, a football uniform over a 4-year lifespan gets pretty tore up. So passing them on is not really an option. Plus the sizes from high school to junior high wouldn't really translate all that well either.
Oh, there you go.
The reason why I asked Mr. Mason to speak on it is it's not a matter of whether his budget can handle for next year. It's simply the perception. I want to make sure people understood.
Thank you.
It's not coming from general fund. It's truly a 300 fund expense.
Correct.
Right. And it's on a 5-year cycle. Yeah. So it's their turn.
So do you already know what you're ordering?
Yes, ma'am.
Colors?
Yeah. It's the board approved colors, winter green, athletic gold. The ones that was about a year ago, I believe, we made that decision.
Bob, do you want to speak on what the school colors are?
I do not.
Okay. Sure, I didn't.
Are you sure?
You like it?
I'm so glad I missed that meeting.
That's part of that email I sent over to you. There was a couple of tabs at the bottom. One's a consent, an agreement that yes, we will buy them. We don't have to turn PO in yet until it'll be on July 1 PO for next year. But just yes, we're going to purchase them, and then two, the mock up. They're a lot different than this year, past year's uniforms. They're dark green, athletic green.
Okay.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Okay.
Look forward to seeing you.
Thank you. And that's it.
All right. Moving on. on to donations, yes.
Madam Vice President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed below.
Second. Discussion?
I think it's pretty cool that everybody wanted to make sure that the staff had a luncheon at the end of the year, and everybody contributed. I think that's really great, and you know, Corey certainly, and Tim and Carrie to donate that. I think that's pretty, I think it's pretty awesome, because I think that as we really support the teachers, and I think that really shows that.
Just like, it was a good lunch.
And I had to miss it.
All right, roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, we don't have any new items. So, make the motion to move into executive session starting at 8:15. Zero action?
No.
And there will be no action items after the executive session. But wanted people to know that we will have a special meeting on June 25th starting at 7 p.m. And the purpose of that meeting will be around the supplementals that we just took off the agenda tonight, so we'll be discussing that. And then the regular board meeting, the next regular board meeting will be July 17th at 7 p.m. Right?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. We're in executive session.